Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 159, stanzas 1 and 2. O God, regard my humble plea. I cannot be so far from Thee, but Thou wilt hear my cry and what follows. In 1 and 2 of Psalter 159.
Portion of God's Word that we wish to read together in this morning hour, you can find recorded in the second book of Corinthians, thereof the 12th chapter. But first we will read the holy law of the Lord. And God spake all these words, Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he hear it of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure. Through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commanded of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein ye were yet inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me for this wrong. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. But be it so, I did not burden you, nevertheless. Being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not. Lest there be debates, envyings, wrath, strives, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults, and lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already, and have not repented of the uncleanness, and fornication, and lasciviousness which they have committed.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal Lord, we may be gathered round about word and sacrament in this morning hour. It is in the way of thy providence, but may it be also in the way of thy grace and of thy eternal good pleasure for the salvation not only by the preaching, but also by thy holy sacrament, for the encouragement and the strengthening of thy church in the midst of the warfare of this life, that thou may remember each and every one of thine own. Lord, thou knowest that the desire that there is, that we may have a blessing, that we may have a little communion. For, Lord, it is in this world a meshech. It is all so vain and so carnal. And then there are those who must say, I sought thee upon my bed. I sought thee in the night watches, but I could not find thee. O Lord, wilt thou remember them where they are in this morning hour? O thou alone art able to return unto thy children. For we can depart from thee, but we are not able to bring ourselves back again. And thou knowest what the desire is even in that land of captivity. That is in the bottom of the heart, and all the inability to deliver themselves, that they still do say, oh, let him kiss me. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love that is better than wine. Oh, then they say, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, and where thou makest thy flocks to rest at noon. For why should I be as they that do turn aside into the flocks of thy companions? Oh, if thou know not, O thou fairest among women, turn thyself to him that those that feed beside the shepherd's tents. O Lord, that thou may draw thy children in this morning, that thou may grant a blessing under word and sacrament, that thou would keep away what does not belong, because our hearts by nature are so bold. But Lord, thy children, thou dost make them so timid. And then it is necessary that thou keepest the one away, and it is necessary that thou drawest the other unto thyself. O Lord, we beseech thee in this morning hour, that thou mayst so remember thy church, that the meek might eat and that they might be satisfied. Oh, that there might be food in thy house, Lord, because there are those that desire if they could have but just a little crumb. But thou art able to open the windows of heaven and to pour out a blessing when it is so undeserved. Oh, that thou may take thy true church by heart and by hand. And when there are those that do stand so afar off in their own unworthiness and do dare not of themselves to approach that which is holy. O Lord, thou art above it all. O that thou thyself may do for them what they cannot do for themselves, that thou may give light upon thy own work, that thou may grant a confirmation thereof out of thy own holy word, and that thou may give also in the midst of us a holy jealousy to be born in the hearts of those that know not thee. And because there is no joy like that joy. Oh, there is no blessedness like the blessedness of thy true church. Though they must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Oh, that thou may give in this morning hour, amongst young and old, amongst even the little ones, a holy and a new desire, a holy jealousy, and that they may say, remember me too, O Lord, with that favor that thou bearest unto thy people, that thou may look upon each and every one in all the needs and the cares of this life, because there are also those that are not able to be with us in this morning hour, and thou knowest their place. Oh, that thou may remember and visit them in their own homes or wherever that they may be. The old that are in the nursing home or in their own homes. Lord, thou art able to grant a blessing also in those places, and that thou may supply for those that are sick, those that do recover also from surgeries, thou knowest where that they are, and that thou may give healing for the body. And wilt thou give acknowledging hearts for all thy goodness, thy blessing upon the means, and also a heart that may go out unto thee for spiritual blessings. Do remember all thy truly sent servants this day, and when they go forth to bring thy word and also the student. Lord, we ask thee help from above. Because who is sufficient for these things? Lord, thou dost not call and send forth angels as ministering spirits, but sinful men who must bear their own crosses in this world, and who must carry a sinful heart also in the midst of all their labors. O Lord, we ask of thee thy help in this morning hour, also in the administration of word and sacrament, and that thou may give to us strength for this labor. O that thou may be near and dear unto us all together. O that we may be given to feel thy nearness and thy presence in a feeling and in a believing way. O that we may know that even in the last times thou art still alive, and that thou knowest who we are, and that thou knowest where we are, and that thou hast not left us as we deserve over to ourselves. O Lord, for a little token of thy favor, a little token of thy blessing, and that thou thyself may grant us a little communion, and not only amongst one another, but a little communion with thee, that thy word may be given to go open a little, that our heart may be open, and that there may be a receiving from thee of that strength that we cannot give unto ourselves. O Lord, it is a Meshach here below, and who is able to uphold that life that they could not give unto themselves. That is only coming from thee. Thou art the first, thou art the Alpha, thou art the Omega, thou art also the last. And that work that thy children fear, that is often coming to an end, that they are not able to maintain in themselves. O Lord, thou art able to renew it in a moment. And so thou hast given unto us thy holy supper. O Lord, wilt thou not come then? And wilt thou not draw near unto us? O that those who are sad and grieving, that they may be given in this morning to rejoice. O let all who love thy salvation in this day, that they may rejoice in thee. O Lord, that thou may make glad the heart of the fearful, and that thou may glorify thy own name in thy only begotten Son, who has given himself even unto death, for the greatest, for the chiefest of the sinners. O, do cut off all of our own ways, and open thy own way. O, take us. Take us, Lord, from that old and broken covenant, and grant us that true and that living and that saving faith upon that new and living way. Do it, Lord, for thy own great name's sake, we ask it, in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 163, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord, my God, most earnestly, my heart would seek thy face within thy holy house once more to see thy glorious grace. And what follows in all three stanzas of Psalter 163, and the last collection today is for the Bethesda Care Home.
Apart
Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in that portion of God's Word which was read to you, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and thereof the first portion of the ninth verse. 2 Corinthians 12, the first part of verse 9, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." So far, the words of our text. And in connection with that subject that we have been considering in the past weeks concerning faith, and also in this morning in commemoration of the Holy Supper of the Lord, then we wish to consider in this text the strengthening of faith, which we wish to consider in two thoughts. First, that is for Paul, and second, that is for the whole church of God, the strengthening of faith, first for Paul, and second for his church. "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." What is it? That is an answer. It is an answer of whom? That is an answer of the Lord. That is upon a petition. It is upon a petition of the Apostle Paul. And what is he asking for? He is asking the Lord if he will take away his cross. Do you have a cross? And you ask the Lord also that the Lord may take away your cross. That is what Paul did. We read here, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, and that it might depart from me. What was that cross of the Apostle Paul? We don't know what it was because the Bible is silent about it. But one thing we can be sure, that it was a very heavy cross, because Paul describes it as a thorn in the flesh. And our children will know what that is when they will receive a thorn in their flesh. That is something that is extremely painful. And not only is it painful, but that is something that is often so very difficult or even impossible sometimes for us to remove. And so when we go about this world with a thorn in our flesh, then we feel every moment of our life as we go about doing all of the labors of our hands in this world, then that thorn that is causing a pain in our flesh. And Paul, he is asking the Lord if he may now remove this thorn. And what does the Lord say? And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Thus, what does the Lord say? The Lord, he says, no. No. Thus, God's church does not receive all of what they desire, because it is not what they ask for alone, and what they desire, and what they think is good for them, but it is what the Lord deems to be good for them. And why is it now that the Lord, He will leave this affliction in the life of Paul? Well, the Lord, he has a purpose. Because the Lord has a purpose with everything that he is doing in this world. And very often his purposes are hidden, and we do not know what they are, and the Lord does not show them unto us. But that was not so with the Apostle Paul, because we can read that the purpose of the Lord here, that is shown unto him. And lest I be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Thus, Paul says that there was a purpose for this thorn in his flesh, and that was to humble him. That is, lest he be exalted above measure, because the Apostle Paul has received, we can read, special revelations from the Lord. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Thus, the Apostle Paul has received revelations from the Lord, and that he says that it is not even possible for a man to utter in this world. And now, because of these revelations, even the chiefest among the apostles of the Lord, he is liable to a spiritual pride that is to be lifted up with the very blessings, the spiritual blessings that the Lord is giving unto him. And the Apostle Paul was aware of this even in himself. And the Lord also knew it. But the Lord is not going to permit it. He will not permit Paul to be exalted in himself. That is for the sake of his own church, that he may be profitable for his church. How will the Lord keep him low? Well, Paul says that the Lord, he will keep him low with a messenger of Satan to buffet him. Thus, when Paul would himself be lifted up with the revelations of the Lord, when Paul would himself be lifted up with the blessings from the Lord, the blessings, the spiritual blessings from heaven, then the Lord will use the devil from hell to keep him in his place. The messenger of Satan to buffet him. You can be sure that that was a grievous thorn, because the devil congregation is pitiless. Just look at how he has dealt with Job. Then there was from one affliction to the next affliction without pity and without mercy. And had the Lord not stayed the hand of Satan, then Job would have been completely destroyed. It is possible that there was some kind of a physical affliction in the life of the Apostle Paul that did make it difficult for him to go about his labor, some weakness, some infirmity that hindered him from doing his work as that he has desired to do it. But more likely, it is a spiritual affliction, because it is a messenger of Satan, and Satan is a spirit. And the greatest afflictions that are in the life of the church, they are not physical afflictions, they are not afflictions in this world, but their greatest afflictions, they are spiritual afflictions. Thus, the stirring up of the corruptions. Thus, the stirring up of the evil thoughts, the evil suggestions, the laying of temptations in the heart, in the life of their people. And what did Paul have to experience? Well, Paul had to experience weakness, because he could not stand in himself against those temptations. And those temptations, they are for him a hindrance. He says, they are a hindrance for me to go about the labors in the midst of the church of God. And not only weakness to overcome those afflictions, but weakness to be rid of them, weakness to take those afflictions away, because it is a thorn in his flesh. We read that Paul, he is asking the Lord if he might take away. And we do not ask the Lord first. No, we always begin with ourselves. But here we read Paul, he says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Is that not understandable? Christ's congregation was so willing to suffer. He was so willing to give himself for suffering, afflictions, trials, persecutions. We can read that the Lord Jesus, that he has also prayed. He has asked his Father three times, "May this cup pass from me." Why is that? That is because he was also so human. That is because he had a nature that recoiled from those sufferings the same as your nature and my nature does. And knowing that into which he must go, and then that suffering that has increased because of the knowledge, the omniscience of his divine nature. And so now that human nature, that is also, it is also recoiling from those sufferings. And yet, the willingness of his heart that he has shown in himself to be so at one with the will of his Father, that he may go forward in those sufferings, despite the human nature's recoiling. Not my will, but thy will be done. Paul has besought the Lord thrice. Thrice, that is actually, that means often. That is that he has besought the Lord many times. Oh, we are not so willing to suffer. But what has the Lord answered Paul? The Lord says to Paul that that thorn, that will remain. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. The Lord will not remove that affliction. But that is not where the Lord ends. No, the Lord, he says, Paul, I am going to leave that affliction in your body. I am going to leave that affliction in your life. But that is not everything. No, he says, I am going to help you to bear that affliction. That is, congregation, one of those great benefits of grace. One of those great benefits of grace for God's church while they are in this world, as long as they are in this life, because there is not a person in the whole world that does not have affliction, trial, trouble in their life. But they do not all receive what Paul receives and what his church receives. That the Lord says, though I leave those afflictions in your life, that I will be there to help you to bear up under them. And not only to bear up under them, but to give you a profit from them. Because Paul says, for our light affliction, oh, he had many afflictions, but he calls them light. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, or in light of that great eternity, then what are the afflictions of the short span of this life here below? Oh, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it worketh for us a far more exceeding weight of glory. How? Well, because tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope, Paul says, that maketh not ashamed. Thus we see there is a help to bear up under those afflictions not only, but also a sanctifying of those afflictions in the life of his people. Why? My strength, he says, is made perfect in weakness. What does that mean? To be made perfect. That means to be made complete. To be made complete. Or that means to be brought to its end. To its end. To its purpose. Thus, the Lord says something about his strength. And he says that my strength is made perfect. That means that in itself, the Lord says His strength is not perfect. Say, is the strength of the Lord not perfect? He is perfect. He is perfect in all His attributes in Himself. Everything is perfect, certainly. But what is the Lord saying? That my strength then that cannot be manifested. My strength cannot be made known when it is all by itself. Then there is no one that I can help. My strength that is made perfect in weakness, my strength that is made known in weakness, it is only weakness that gives to me that occasion, that opportunity, that I may display how strong that I am. Thus Paul, if I give you strength so that you have sufficient of your own and you can go on with that strength, then you do not need the strength from me. Then you will not look to me. Then you will not depend upon me. And then you will leave me easy in my place. But if now I leave that affliction with you, so that you are not able to bear up under it of yourself, oh, then you will need me every day. And you will magnify me for it. And not only you, but also my whole church. That is our second thought. For my strength that is made perfect in weakness. Congregation, what is the activity of faith? You know it now. Faith that leans. Faith that depends. Faith that trusts. Faith that confides. Leaning is not something that a man does who has good legs. Does not need a cane, right, boys and girls? A man who has good legs, you do not need a cane. You don't need anyone to help you. Say, I have my own legs. I have my good legs. I got strong legs. I can run. I can play. That is right. So leaning on someone else, that is not what someone does who has strong legs. But that is what someone does who is like Mephibosheth, who we read he was lame on both his feet. And that man with the palsy, then we read that he was born of four. These men, they experience their own weakness. And these men at the same time, because of their leaning, and their dependence, they experience the strength of their friends, of other men. They experience that strength now one day, but they have to experience that strength every day. Why? Well, because you say those legs are not fixed. Because every morning when they get up again in the morning, then they are just as unable to walk as they were that day before. What is now that daily burden of that church of God? That is, congregation, the warfare. There is no man in this whole world who has truly desired in his life to be delivered from sin, for whom sin did not become for him a thorn in his flesh. And how many times do that people not now beseech the Lord that the Lord would take away this thorn in their flesh? Not only that they may be justified, but that they also may be sanctified. Not only that they may be forgiven, but they say, "Oh Lord, could it be that I would not sin anymore? That I could go through this world laying down that awful iniquity?" And why? Well, because it does not permit me to serve thee as I wish. Because I wish that I could live so to thy honor. And I wish that my heart could, that treasure that could be so in heaven, that my heart would be there every moment, that my heart would be there every day. Oh, that the love of my heart would be every moment burning, even as it burned in those two men who were on their way to Emmaus. And that I would not have to be bowed down over this earth with this body of sin and death. Oh, that desire to be rid of that sin that they are not able to rid themselves of, that vanity, that carnality. Weak. Weak. Weak to serve the Lord. Weak to love the Lord. And not only to weak to love Him and to serve Him, but also weak to rid themselves of that thorn. So that every day that it has to cleave to them again, so that they have to say, "The good that I would I do not, and the evil that I would not, that I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, for this, for this I besought the Lord thrice. Oh, for this I have besought the Lord so many times in my life, so often." You too. And how is it to this moment? Does the Lord answer that petition? Oh, you know what we read about heaven? We read that there shall enter there nothing that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or that telleth that lie. But there is no heaven for God's children on the earth. No heaven. And therefore, well, if there was a heaven on the earth, why would they ever want to leave the earth? Why would they ever even desire to depart from the earth? What does Paul say, congregation, about our flesh? About our flesh. He says, "It shall be sown in corruption." What is he speaking about? He is speaking about the day of our death. It will be sown in corruption. It will be raised in incorruption. That is, it will go down into the earth after my last breath. It will be sown like a seed in the earth. It will be sown in corruption. It will be raised in incorruption. It will be sown a natural body. It will be raised a spiritual body. It will be sown in weakness. It will be raised in power, in glory. What does he say? He says that that weakness, that that corruption, that mortal body that is going to remain in the life of that church to the very end of their life. Thus, what is the answer of the Lord to all the beseechings of that church? That the Lord may take away this thorn in their flesh. Then the Lord says, you must still bear it a little while. You must still bear it a little while. But that is not all the Lord says. Because he says, though you must still bear that thorn in your flesh, yet he says, I am going to give you the strength to bear it. And what is that strength? Well, he says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength that is made perfect in weakness. He says, you must now bear that thorn each and every day. Why? That you may experience something of my strength. That I may glorify myself. That my strength may be displayed. That it may be made evident. Not only to you, but to everyone. God's people, congregation, they are so forgetful. The Lord, he had to complain of his people that they were more forgetful than all the nations on the earth. He said, those people, they don't forget their gods. When the Philistines came and they took the Ark of God, where did they bring it? They brought it into the temple and they set it before Dagon. But the Lord says, my people, they have forgotten me days without number. And because they forget me days without number, oh, then I cannot just give them sufficient strength and legs to walk on, because if I gave them legs they could walk on to the end of their life, then they could leave me just alone in heaven. Then I would never hear from them again. Oh, in heaven it will be different. In glory it will be different. Because then they shall see him face to face. And then they shall never forget him anymore. And therefore the Lord in that place, he will take away all their afflictions. Not only the bodily afflictions, but also and above all, that spiritual affliction. But here, while they are still in this world, he says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Thus, the Lord is going to manifest. The Lord is going to glorify. The Lord is going to make evident his own strength. That is his highest purpose. That is the honor of his name. But there are certain attributes of the Lord that are only able to be manifested by way of contrast. By way of contrast. What is one of them? That is his mercy. That is his mercy. Because mercy needs an object. And what is the object of mercy? That is the miserable. And therefore, mercy cannot be manifested without misery. But there's another one. That is grace. Grace needs an object in order to be made evident, to be made known. Because grace looks to those who are unworthy. And if there are none that are unworthy, then grace cannot be known. It cannot be shown. It is impossible, therefore, the wisdom of the Lord in the very decree of the fall and the wisdom of the Lord in allowing that thorn in the flesh of his children to remain to the last day of their life. Paul, he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But he does not end there. He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. O my strength that is made perfect, it is made evident, it is made known in weakness. Israel, they cried unto the Lord when? The only time we cry, that is when they fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their weakness. Or we read when they are at their wit's end. Then they cried unto the Lord. And he delivered them out of their distresses. And then they sang, Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, it is now that glory that the Lord, he is not going to relinquish. My strength that is made perfect in weakness. And therefore that rich young ruler came to him. And what did he say to him? Go. Go and sell. Then I say, come. He said, go and sell. Why? Because you can keep all those commandments. You can do it. From my youth up, he said, well, why do you need me? Why do you need me? The Lord Jesus, he said that also to the Pharisees. He said, go and learn what that meaneth, that I will have mercy and not sacrifice, because I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. But there is an on the other hand, Christ, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Why? Because my strength that is made perfect in weakness, O congregation, may those who are not strangers of his strength in your weakness find a place here in this morning at the table of the Lord in order that his strength may be made perfect in your weakness, may be made evident, may be made manifest, and may be glorified. Amen. The form for the administration of the Lord's Supper will now be read to you.
The form for the administration of the Lord's Supper, which can be found on page 136 in the back of your Psalter. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary, first, rightly to examine ourselves, and secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ had ordained and instituted the same, namely, to his remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that everyone consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great, that rather that it should go unpunished, he had punished the same in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Secondly, that everyone examine his own heart, whether he doth believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly, as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that everyone examine his own conscience, whether he proposes henceforth to show true thankfulness to God in his whole life, and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he had laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and thus firmly resolve henceforth to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. All those then who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son, Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore, we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord and to declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and those who confide in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of his word and of his holy sacraments, all blasphemies, all those who are given to raise discord, sects and mutiny in church or state, all perjurious persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, contentious persons, and those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, whoremongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offensive lives. All these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat, which Christ had ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But this is not designed, dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord, but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding, we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as namely that we have not perfect faith, and that we do not give ourselves to serve God with that zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lusts of our flesh. Yet, since we are, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, sorry for these weaknesses and earnestly desirous to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assured that no sin or infirmity which still remaineth against our will in us can hinder us from being received of God in mercy and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord had instituted his supper, namely, that we do it in remembrance of him. Now after this manner we are to remember him by it. First, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly, from the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, and that he had fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden, where he was bound that we might be freed from our sins, that he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God. Yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and had also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and had humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we might be accepted of God, and never be forsaken of him, and finally confirmed with his death, and shedding of his blood, the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, it is finished. Secondly, that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his last supper, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner also after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby us by a sure remembrance and pledge be admonished and assured of this my hearty love and faithfulness towards you, that whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you, and I certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life, as this bread is broken before your eyes and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he has become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he had taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head, and in us as his members, might have true communion with him, and be made partakers of all his blessings, of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. Besides that we, by this same Spirit, may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the holy apostle said, for we, being many, are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. For us, out of many grains, one meal is ground, and one bread baked, and out of many berries being pressed together, one wine floweth and mixeth itself together. So shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be all together one body, through brotherly love, for Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who hath so exceedingly loved us, and not only show this in word, but also in very deed towards one another. Here to assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Amen.
That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God and with true faith implore his grace. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased in this supper, in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Ghost, that we may daily more and more with true confidence give ourselves up unto thy Son, Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts through the power of the Holy Ghost may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood, yea, with him, through God and men, and that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins. but he in us, and we in him, and thus truly and be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may not doubt, but that thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary, as well for the body as the soul, as thy beloved children and heirs, grant us also thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations with uplifted heads, expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortal bodies like unto his most glorious body, and take us unto him in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper and the Catholic undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may be now fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of his heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting. But we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls, through the working of the Holy Ghost, with his body and blood, as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him. While the table is prepared, let us sing from Psalter 446, stanzas 2 and 3. If thou shouldst mark transgression, O Lord, then who could stand? For evil and oppression are found on every hand. And what follows in the third, let us sing also the fourth stanza, hope in the Lord, O nation, for with him and there is grace and plenteous salvation for all who seek his face. 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 446.
Thank you.
beloved congregation, we have for more than just 1 week been preparing for this table of the Lord, because in the last 2 months, then we have been trying to lay before you what true faith is. Out of the instruction of our fathers and out of the holy word of God. And we know that and then it is only by that true faith that a man is received into God's favor. And therefore it is only that true faith that is those with such a true faith that are invited to that table of the Lord. And Paul, he now says that he had a thorn in his flesh. And that was a man who had grace. That was a man who had true saving faith. And he had not only a thorn in the outward flesh, but we can read elsewhere that he had another thorn. And this table that is now open, and that is open for whom? We all have thorns in our flesh. When we would ask each and every one of you, what is that thorn that you carry in your family, that thorn that you carry in your health, your business, or whatever it is? We ask the Lord, we say, Lord, maybe many times, wilt thou take it away? But is there now a people who have another thorn? That thorn that Paul spoke about when he said there is a law in my members that is warring against the law of my mind. That is now a thorn that is the most painful. Thus, is there such a people who know of such a thorn from which they have often asked the Lord, Lord, wilt thou deliver me? But who have received that answer from the Lord, and that they will have to carry that thorn with them all their life long, so that they wake up every day again with that same thorn in their flesh. And yet, though the Lord does not take it away, still we can read what the Lord did say unto Paul. And this is now where that dividing line now comes in the congregation. Did the Lord now ever say unto your soul, in the quiet of the night, or wherever you may have been, in your great need, in all your desire that you may be rid of sin, and that the Lord, that he has spoken to your soul, to say, in whatever manner that may have been, my grace that is sufficient for thee? That is that people that are invited unto the table of the Lord. My grace is sufficient. Then the Lord has shown you something of the sufficiency of his only begotten Son. No, we do not say that then you can say that the Lord, he is my God. Then we do not say that you can claim anything, but that the Lord has shown you that sufficient is that blood that is shed by that Son of God. Because when we have seen once that sufficiency, then we have seen where salvation is to be found. And that is something that we can never forget in our life. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength that is made perfect in weakness. Friends, If you do not have weakness, then do not come here. But if there may be that weakness that you cannot deliver yourself from your sin, that is now the way that the Lord, He is magnifying His own strength. Paul, he may have power with God, but after he had power with God, he had to go halting all his life because the Lord touched the hollow of his thigh. And now the Lord says to that people, do this in remembrance of me. Are there no more? Why? Why does the Lord say to his church, do this in remembrance of me? Well, because there would come a time that he would not be so near to them as he had been unto them. Then it would be a different time. Then it would be a remembrance of that former time. And the Lord, he commanded them to remember him. And so he has instituted that holy supper of the Lord. Or are there then no more that are able to remember what the Lord has shown unto them, that my grace is sufficient for thee? Then we close this table. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. The cup of blessing, which we bless, is the communion of the blood of Christ. Drink ye all of it. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. How strong was Christ? Why? Because of his divinity. There was not a stronger man in all the world. And yet, how weak was he? That he has come into this world, and when he has done so, he has laid aside the use of his strength, so that he came even as a little child, and he was made in the likeness of men, and he took upon himself the form of a servant. Thus, we see a weakness when he was laying in that manger in a poverty and a seeming weakness when he had to flee from Herod, as if the kings of this world, they were stronger than he. But there is no time that it seemed as if Christ was so weak as when he has given himself in his suffering and in his death. And he has certainly shown something of that great power when he said, I am he, and his enemies, they have all had to fall to the ground. But wherein was the greatness of his power to be seen? That was in laying aside his power and giving himself as if he were but a weak man. Because that is not easy. It is not easy for us to lay aside our power. And now Christ, he has so done. In his passive obedience, in the giving of his body to the breaking, and in the pouring out of his blood, even so that it seemed to his church like the devil was stronger than Christ. And yet, it was his strength that was made perfect through this weakness, because it is the strength of his love whereby he has given himself to lay aside his power. It was the strength of love, because we read that scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And therefore there was no strength of love made so manifest as in the laying aside of his power, in his passive obedience to give his body unto to the death. And that is not only the strength of love that was made evident, but it was also the strength of his wisdom. Because Job asked the question, how should man be just with God? And it is now these tokens of bread and wine that do exhibit, that do manifest, that do show unto us the answer to that question. How should man be just with God? Oh, what a weakness there was on the side of man. A weakness of ignorance was not created that way. It was created in knowledge. but he has become so weak in his fall, in his knowledge, that he was so lost that he did not know how to find the way back again. And now it is these tokens of this breaking of his body and this shedding of his blood, which is portraying the greatness of the strength of his wisdom, how that a man can again be just with God. What a strength that he has shown in the taking away of the guilt. Because if you think of that thief that was on the cross, then when that man had to come before God as his judge, and then there can be only one sentence, that is guilty. That man had no opportunity anymore to make amends, and no ability either to make amends for all that he had done. And he has now to stand before his judge. But the Lord Jesus, he said, even upon that height, to that man, today shall thou be with me in paradise. Oh, what a strength. What a strength. There was strength with God, that is, to overturn that judgment of that man. And then we see how strong was that blood that he was shedding upon that tree to come into that most holy of holies. So certain he was that when that blood would come before that judge, that there would be no other judgment, that Christ promised him, today shall thou be with me in paradise. Well, that is now the strength of that blood that was made perfect in the weakness of Christ. Then it is the showing forth, the manifesting of how strong that his mediatorship is, and how strong is that intercession when it is coming before that judge to give a man freedom, like Manasseh, who was in the prison, and there should and could be for him only one sentence, and yet that man, he is being brought out of that prison into that perfect freedom. Why? Because if the Son shall make you free, then you shall be free indeed. Oh, the strength of the wisdom of God in order to reconcile a man with him again. The strength of Christ's blood, the strength of that broken body to take away the guilt and to have power with the judge, and not only the guilt, but also the corruption, because we read of that woman who had an issue of blood that would not stop. Do you have that too? That issue of blood, there was no stopping it from one day unto the next. And yet, one word of Christ, and that issue that has staunched. And so the corruption, and therefore Christ, he says, here, my grace is sufficient for thee, because every day again, then we are not able to walk, even as we were not able to walk in the day of yesterday. Zechariah says, in that day there shall be a fountain opened for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And now a fountain is something that is over against the multitude of the sin. And that is, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And a fountain that is something that is to be sought every day again. Or a fountain that is something that is never coming to an end. So we see superabounding grace for the abounding of sin. Oh, may the Lord, who has commanded that this table be commemorated continually to the end of the world, and that we do this in remembrance of Him, give, and that we may be brought each and every day back again to that fountain, and that we may experience in a daily way that my strength, that His strength, is made perfect in our weakness. So be it. Let us sing in Psalter 202, the first stanza, and afterwards the communicants may return to their seats. 202. Stanza 1, in doubt and temptation, I rest, Lord, in Thee. My hand is in Thy hand, Thou carest for me. And what follows, first stanza of 202. Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at His table, let us therefore jointly praise His holy name with thanksgiving. And everyone say in his heart thus, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He had not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. For as the east is from the west, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, who hath not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all and given us all things with him. Therefore God commendeth therewith his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified in his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render thee most humble and hearty thanks that thou hast of thine infinite mercy given us thine only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that thou givest us lively faith, whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son Jesus Christ should institute and ordain his holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him, through Jesus Christ thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayer, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Let us close with the singing of Psalter 111, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. I waited for the Lord Most High, and he inclined to hear my cry. He took me from destruction's pit, and from the miry clay. Upon a rock he set my feet, and steadfast made my way. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 111.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.